Remain standing, please, for our scripture reading. It comes from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. Else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Father, today we say holy, 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 for you alone are worthy, Father. May all that we do here today, may the words that are shared, the thoughts of our heart, all be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last year at Valentine's Day, or preceding Valentine's Day, Renee woke up one morning. It was a few days before Valentine's Day. A few days before Valentine's Day, I did it again, and said, "You know, I had a dream last night. I dreamed you gave me a gold necklace." I says, "What do you think it means?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. Just hang on. Valentine's Day is not far. You'll find out then." A couple days later, she wakes up in the morning. She says, "I had another dream last night. I dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace." She says, "What do you think it means?" I said, "Well, I don't know. Just hang on. Valentine's just a couple days away. You'll find out then." On Valentine's morning, she woke up. She says, "I had another dream last night. I dreamed you gave me a diamond necklace. What do you think it means?" I said, "Just hang on. Wait till this evening, and you'll find out. It's Valentine's Day." Well, that evening, after we had our dinner, and, you know, nice romantic dinner, I gave her this nice package, beautifully wrapped. I was real proud of it. She opened it up, tore into it, and you know what it was? It was a book that says, "The Meaning of Dreams." I have to confess, I stretched that a little bit. I didn't do that. But it would be something that likely that I would do. Valentine's Day, it's a big day in our society now, isn't it? It's a pressure-packed day for a lot of people. I had a friend a number of years ago that owned a florist, and you know what she called Valentine's Day? Valoween. Florists do, I read somewhere, like 10% of their entire yearly business is done right at Valentine's Day. Enormous amount of business and a pressure-packed day for them. Some statistics that I read, looked up about Valentine's Day, is that last year, just imagine how many roses were delivered last year in the United States on Valentine's Day. 200 million, approximately. There was not, I don't know if this was a misprint or what that I read this, but candy, which is another popular item on Valentine's Day, I read that there was over $1 trillion worth of business in buying candy for Valentine's Day. I just wonder if that was a misprint or not. 83% of all the Valentine's Day cards that are bought by women. 73% of all flowers that are purchased by men. Yeah. I don't know many women that buy men flowers, you know, on Valentine's Day, but there are some, obviously, 27% purchase them. This is done in an effort. All these things that we give, all the gestures that we make on Valentine's Day are done for the reason of building or continuing or keeping or renewing a relationship with someone. Now remember, Valentine's Day, I was talking to Jamie a while ago, Jamie called it Singles Awareness Day. I'd heard that before. Valentine's Day is not just about gifts between a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend. But Valentine's Day, we do it for our children, for our parents, for friends and neighbors, loved ones, anybody we care about, anybody that we have a relationship with. Valentine's Day is an appropriate time to show them and tell them how we feel. Valentine's Day, okay, is a celebration of relationships. Not just the man-woman romantic relationship. But in any relationship, whether we talk about husband and wife, neighbors, friends, parents, children, whatever the relationship, what is it that's key in relationship between people who are really close? Now, you're thinking there. Just think. Think for a second. Is it love? Certainly that's important. But I'm going to say love is not key there. Is it commitment? Certainly that is extremely important, but it's not the key that I'm looking for. Is it respect or kindness, both of which are extremely important, but not key? The key to any relationship, I tell you today, is this, I believe, in my opinion, is forgiveness. Because I don't care how much love there is. I love Renee with all my heart, and I believe that she loves me. But I tell you what, there has to be some times when she has to forgive me. Because even though she may love me, she's still got to forgive me because, you know, I think once in 16 years I've probably done something wrong. In any relationship, whether it's with a neighbor, with a friend, with a husband, with a child, with a sister, with a mom, whoever you want to talk about, with your pastor, you got to be willing to forgive. That is key to the relationship. All these other things, love, commitment, respect, kindness, are key, are important, but forgiveness is key. Why is it key? It's because each and every one of us are a broken and flawed group of people. Now, I'm not talking about Francis Asbury being broken and flawed. I'm talking about the human race being broken and flawed and in need of forgiveness. Here are a couple more statistics that I found that were a little more troubling about Valentine's Day. 17% of all the flowers that are sent by a person to themselves. What does that speak of? There's some really lonely people and pressure-filled people. Kind of goes back to what Jamie said, Singles Awareness Day. We can be insensitive about that day, and for people who may not be in a close relationship with someone, it's a pretty painful day. Also, on Valentine's Day, of all days of the year, or the time right before Valentine's Day, gun sales spike. They go off the charts on gun sales. Why do you think of that? It's because of those people who are lonely and feel like they have no hope or anything. It's a desperate time for some people. I've recently, in preaching, in teaching, spoken a great deal about the heart. You know, I preached a month or so ago about where your treasure is, your heart will follow. And that's true. I certainly believe that. But the Scripture also tells us that we are infected with a disease. a heart disease, you might say. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about that adultery and murder begin in the heart. He goes on in Matthew, in the 15th chapter of Matthew, and says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Peter in Acts chapter 8 says to this sorcerer or magician who has seen Peter and John laying hands on people and them receiving the Holy Spirit, he goes up to Peter and John, he says, "How much do you want? How much money would it take for me to buy that gift that you have?" You know what Peter told him? Peter said, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." If this was it though, folks, if this scripture and this line of thinking, the idea that the heart is evil and the evil things come from the heart, it'd be a pretty bleak situation that we have to look forward to, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have much to look forward to if this was all. But you see, Jesus did something. God did something there. He didn't abandon us in our hopelessness. He sent us the greatest love that you and I will ever imagine, the greatest love of all creation. He sent His Son. John 3:16. You all know it. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the good news today. The wonderful news. The miracle of what Christ did. What God did in Christ. Now I could just say the benediction. We could sing the last song. And I could go on home. What have I got here? Oh, that's some information about the welcome table that I use Wednesday night. But y'all know better than I'm going to quit this early. I've got a few more things I want to say. After all, I did read a passage from Psalms, didn't I? In this passage from Psalms that I read to you, I want you to think about this passage and see it as a description of what a cured heart will look like. See, in this passage, this psalm, Psalm 32, it's attributed to King David as the writer. And about all scholars that I've read anything of as I looked over this and researched it a little bit, they all agree that it was probably a psalm that he wrote shortly after his affair, his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, after his forgiveness from that situation. This 22nd psalm was the description and David's cry, David's praise for the cured heart that he now possessed. It was a heart that was diseased because of sin, but through the forgiveness of God, His grace, that heart had been healed. All right, what does this healed heart look like? Let's look at verses 1 and 2 to begin with. Our healed heart, and you can remember heart here, and you'll have five things that this heart does, this heart looks like. H, our heart, our healed heart looks happy. These first two verses, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, but in whose spirit there is no deceit." Do you remember that word "blessed" from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes? "Blessed is" and "blessed are" those. It's the Greek word and the Hebrew word that are translated "blessed" are basically identically in translation sense are the same. They mean happy. They mean contented. It means expressive of joy of good fortune in one's life. Our heart will look happy. Being forgiven, folks, Experiencing forgiveness, knowing that you are forgiven, is a true blessing. It's a weight lifted, a burden gone. You're no longer sad, no longer unhappy, no longer down in the face, but you're joyful and you're able to express that joy, and that joy is visible in your life because you are redeemed. Have you ever seen a person who just is completely different one day? Sometimes you don't see somebody for a long time and their countenance, everything is completely different. And you know that that person, something has changed in their life. David, I can just imagine the difference that there must have been in his countenance after his encounter with Samuel and he was confronted with Nathan, his adulterous situation. And he repented. David must have been a night and day kind of person when that occurred. And I know for me, when I was in a dark place, when I was feeling lonely and alone and burdened by sin, that there was an instant difference at the moment that I was able to give that over to the Lord and trust in Him. Our heart will look happy. H. The second thing that our heart will look like is E, and that's empty. Our heart will look empty. Verses 3 through 5. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turning into the draught of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I had not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now when I say our heart will look empty, I don't mean empty in the sense of despair and no hope. I mean empty of all the junk that we can put in our lives. All the junk that comes and attaches itself to us like parasites. Just attaching to us and draining us of the energy, the strength, the will, the love, the mercy, and the grace that we have to share with one another and with God. All that junk that just weighs you down. Our hearts will be empty. Can you imagine the relief on David when the burden of that sin was no longer there? Can you imagine the burden eased? Empty David was, and ready to be filled by God's goodness and His will. When your heart has been forgiven, when you are forgiven, you will have a heart that is empty and ready to be filled by what God has, the good stuff that God has for you. The third thing that we will see in a heart that's been forgiven, our healed hearts look assured. Verses 6 and 7. For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. Our healed hearts will look assured. Assured that God will be with us. Hiding us, he says. You are my hiding place. Sometimes God is there and he just keeps us. He just shelters us, protects us from the sin that would be there in our lives. Sometimes we need that because sometimes we're just not strong enough to do it. We're not faithful enough. Sometimes we just can't do it. It's just such a strong draw on us. We can't possibly do it. Those times God just hedges us in and He covers us and He hides us from whatever Satan would do to us. Then there's the times that He preserves us from trouble. The Scripture says He will preserve us from trouble. Here He keeps us through the trouble. You know, God doesn't promise us that He's always going to cover us from any trouble. He didn't promise us that we're never going to see any problems or any trouble come our way. We will see it. We will experience it. It's coming, folks. We can count on it. But He says that He will preserve us from it. When he says preserve us, he means that he will be there with us. He will walk with us through it. He will guide us through it. And that we will go through the trouble and we'll come out on the other side and we'll be stronger and more refined and more in his will than ever before. He will preserve us through it. The third thing it says there is that you shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. Sometimes God will just deliver us. Sometimes we make bad choices and we get ourselves between the proverbial rock and a hard place. That crack where we just can't get our way out of. God sometimes just has to reach down there and take us out of it and set us out of it and deliver us. And He says that in all things, through hiding us, through preserving us, and through delivering us, we can be assured of His presence and His love in our life. He will heal our hearts. Our healed hearts will look assured. Fourth, our healed hearts will look responsive. Verses 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Our hearts will look responsive. David has no problem following God after this point. Once God had healed his heart and delivered him, David didn't have no questions to ask there. He didn't kick against the goads as the Scriptures tell us Paul did for so long. He was willing to go where he was led. He had no problem following God. We, with healed hearts, must be responsive to His call and His lead in our life. If you've been delivered, folks, if you've been healed from the inside out, trust God where He's leading you. I promise you, He will not take you, lead you anywhere that you can't be prosperous, that you can't survive, that you can't endure, that you can't be overcomers. Our healed hearts will be responsive to His leading. Finally, our healed hearts look thankful. 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David was so thankful for his forgiveness. It's not difficult to see as you read the Psalms and the ones particularly that we know that David wrote, that David was, two things you can say about him. He was a bluntly honest man. If he didn't understand what God was doing, if he was hurting, if he felt like he was being persecuted and wrongly treated, he told God about it. And I think God loved him so much because he was honest with him. And he didn't mind saying, God can take that from us. He can take our honesty. But David also was so thankful in everything. He gave God the praise. David was thankful for his forgiveness. You and I, we all have that forgiveness available to us. We have it already in our possession. I would say 99% of us in here probably do. We need to express that thankfulness. We need to be willing to say to God and turn loose of some of our pride and some of our self-importance and just be willing to just fall upon our knees, upon our breast, upon our prayer places, and just thank God for what He's done for each of us. Because a heart, a forgiven heart, will be thankful. Okay, so that gives me the heart. H, happy. E, empty. A, assured. R, responsive. And T, thankful. Happy, empty, assured, responsive, and thankful. The greatest Valentine ever given was the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. May you show God your love and your praise and your adoration by turning everything over to Him and following His will for your life. The greatest gift, the greatest Valentine ever. Give yourself to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You've done for us through Your Son. We thank You for the love of Christ present in this world today through our neighbors, our friends, our family. We thank You, Father, that You loved us so much that You allowed Your heart to be broken so that we might have healed hearts. Lord, give us Your grace now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.